You're listening to the podcast of Living Grace Church in Hinckley, Minnesota. We invite you to join us this Sunday at 10 o'clock as we look to the Scriptures, seeking to grow in the gospel of grace alone.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes it boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed the man who take refuge in him. Good morning, all. I'm glad to see you. What a powerful book that we have is James. It's a very good book. James touches many points in the Bible and gives us good evidence of real Christian life. Christian conduct should look like. If we look at James chapter 1, James talks about the perseverance through the trials. He opens with a greeting in verse 1 and verse 2. He starts to encourage the believers to remain joyful in the midst of the trial. And verse 2, he says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let your steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." This is a good news for us to hear during this time, mostly during this craziness, during this pandemic. And James encourages us to remain joyful, no matter what's going on. And James continues in the chapter, in the same chapter, in chapter 1. He continues to talk about the generosity of God and the process of giving wisdom. God gives generously and without reproach. James also gives instruction about listening and acting according to the word of God. In chapter 2, James talks about faith without work is dead. He starts with the instruction about being impartial toward people. "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory." And there is a reason why James said that, because God has chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promises to those who love him. He talks about Abraham, Rahab, showing what they did, prove their faith. In chapter 3, James talks about taming our tongue, what we say, what we speak. James described James cautioned us about the danger of our words, things that we say. And James says the tongue has the ability to set on fire the entire course of life. James compared the tongue to a rudder which steers a ship, and a fire which can consume everything on its path. In chapter 4, James encourages us to submit to God. James describes the war that rages between friendship with the world. James encourages us to submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. We encourage to humble ourselves before the Lord, Almighty God, and he will exalt us. Finally, we are in chapter 5, our last chapter of the book of James, that talk about patient, humble, enduring. And I like the way Tony break chapter 5, verse 1 to 6 and 7 to 11 and two parts. And Tony said, the Lord is coming, don't be fooled. The Lord is coming, be patient. So let's pray. Lord, I pray that your spirit can speak in my place this morning. And I pray that, Lord, you have your way in each one of us. Have your way in me, O Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We are going to look at, we are going to focus on verse 12, chapter 5. But I would like to go back a little bit in verse 7. I will read 7 to 12. James chapter 5, 7 to 12. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath. But let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. So I want to go back a little bit from verse 7 to 8. I highlight three things in this passage from 7 to 8. The first thing is be patient. And the second thing is establishing your heart. And the third thing is the Lord is coming. The word about the coming of the Lord is mentioned in many places in the Bible. One of the beautiful promises that we have in the Bible is in John 14, verse 1 to 3. It says, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe in me. And my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So that means we can count on Jesus with no doubt. He is coming. That is true. This is a promise. This promise is secure. It is certain. And Jim tells us the Lord is coming. This is true. This is something we cannot be ignored. This is something we cannot forget. Therefore, establishing your heart, my brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brother, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. James wants us to know the importance of that truth, the importance of that reality. No trial, no tribulation can make us forget that promise, that truth. Be patient, my brother and sister, until the coming of the Lord. And Revelation 3:11 also talk about the coming of the Lord. And Revelation 3, verse 11 say, I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have, so that no one misses your crown. Revelation 22, verse 12 say, behold, I am coming soon. Bring my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. And James talked all about these things. James talked about the coming of the Lord. He talked about how we need to be patient, how we need to establishing our heart. He even take the prophet like Job to consider suffering and patience. And it looked like James was going at a full speed. And when he get to verse 12, James stopped. He pushed the brake. James said, wait a minute. I have something to address to the church. And I cannot forget that. I have to address that. And he said, above all, my brothers, do not swear or by heaven or by earth. Or by any oath, but let your yes be yes, or your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. James take this simple truth, yes or no, and he sets it apart. But above all, my brothers, I want you to know that your yes need to be yes, your no need to be no. And what he's saying is that the people of God that call themselves brothers and sisters and the Lord Jesus Christ, they name his name and carry his cross, are called to be people of truths. We are called to be people who speak the truth, and we should have one word. And our word should be good. Above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth. And this is one of the things that James addressed to the church, because the word could not be trusted at the time. And it's happened today too. When they say things, the word didn't mean anything. They swear, they make false oath to convince people. And today, when we look at people, when they say things, we don't trust everybody, because maybe they say something that was before, they lied to you before, or the way people talk, and you can see that they don't speak the truth. We don't trust them. And they swear to make you think that what they are saying is true, even though it's not. And sometimes we heard people say, I swear to God, I didn't do this thing. Or I swear on my life. I swear on my mother's grave. You know? What if your mom come out and say, what? You are a liar? Because we want people to believe us, even when we are lying. Paul says in Colossians 3, verse 9 to 10, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is renewed and knowledge after the image of its creator. Paul writes to the church in Colossae and say to the people, do not lie to one another anymore. That's what the old people did. They lied to one another. They swear to one another and they make false oath to one another. They say things that did not true. And this is what unbelievers do. They don't care when they swear. Even though they blaspheme the name of God, they don't care. And Paul says to them, stop lying to one another. And James come along to say, yes, I agree. Your yes should be yes and your no should be no. Sometimes when our lies is exposed and we swear by something that even greater than us, something that we don't have authority over of, or something that higher than us, and something like, if you say that I swear to God, why don't you even think about something else before you even open your mouth? And sometimes we heard people say, I swear that the testimony that I'm going to give, all right, will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. So why do we even need to go through all of that? Even though our word is not right, we know that we are lying. Why do we have even to say that? And Leviticus 19, verse 12 says, you shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of God. I am the Lord your God. Sometimes we profane the name of God. Sometimes we blaspheme the name of God and don't even care. We rape sometimes the holiness of God's name. We take the name of God in vain to compensate, because we found as a liar. And James tells us, we need to watch out. Above all, I have something to say to the church. Stop swearing. Stop giving false oath. And James knows the consequences of that. And that the reason James warned us about that, because he doesn't want us to fall under condemnation. And Jesus somewhere also talked about, I would say James quote that, because Jesus talked about that somewhere in Matthew 5, verse 33 to 37. This is what Jesus said. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven or it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. And the Old Testament, they were commanded, if you make an oath, you got to keep that oath, especially if you make it to the Lord. And Jesus opened this introduction by saying, I know what the Old Testament say, but I'm giving you something else. And that is, don't make an oath at all. The reason that Jesus say not to swear at all or making oath is actually because the things that we would swear by usually are not things that are under our control. By example, Jesus talking about the heaven, and if we say we swear by heaven or we swear to God or by earth, those things controlled by God. And the passage in Matthew also say the heaven is the throne of God and the earth is footstools. We don't have right to swear by those things. The text says they all owned by God. The earth, Jerusalem, and those things are pretty big. And Jesus, if he even go to a lower, on a personal level, he's talking about, can we even make our hair black or white? We can't. We can't even control those things. So that's when we don't have the right to swear by those things. And Jesus makes it simple. And he says, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. And if you look at churches today, a Christian world should worth something. But sadly, a lot of time it does not. We don't keep our word. People don't believe in us, what we say. And if Christians were doing what they should be doing, that the world knows the truthfulness or the honesty of Christian, that when a Christian gives you a yes or no, that is good as if we made a secret oath to God. Christian should have a distinction between a non-Christian, yes or no. When a Christian say yes or no, people didn't need even to doubt about that. They should have a distinction when a non-Christian say yes or no, or when a Christian say yes or no. As believers in Christ, we have to make our word worth something and begin even And that should begin even in the reaction that with people we go to church with or our friends. For me, I can't even remember how many times when I say yes to people and my yes is not that. Or when somebody call me and I say, okay, I can call you later. Maybe I forget. And I find something to make an excuse instead just admit it that I lie. Because I find something to say, maybe I was doing something, but I didn't even do it. I don't want to admit that I am lying. And I even think about like in wedding ceremony when the pastor or asking the bride, the couple question, will you stay with your wife? Or will you love your wife in a good time and or a bad time? What do you answer? And say, yes, I do. But when a little thing, in a little situation, things that you can fix really easy come, what do you say? I don't love you anymore. I don't care. Where is your yes? I do. Sometimes, why don't we admit that we are lying to people and ask, okay, I lie, I'm sorry. But we don't care because when we lie to people, we don't even think that have an effect. And this is what James is talking about. Our word should mean something. Our word has Christian, has believers in Christ. Need to be saviors. And you say, yes, I will take decision to follow Jesus until the day of my life. And a little tribulation come. And you said, I can't continue anymore. I don't want to follow Jesus anymore. Why is your yes? And James know the consequences when we lie to people, the consequences when we blaspheme the name of God, the consequences when we make false oath, the consequences when we profane the name of God. And James warned the church, the people of God, about that. And James is talking about you and I this morning. If our yes or no didn't mean something before, but this morning we can say yes. Today my yes should mean something. My yes or no should worth what I say. James is talking to us this morning and saying, do not swear. Don't make false oath. Don't blaspheme the name of God. Don't rape His holiness. Just make our yes mean something so that we can be the people of truth. The people, when we speak, the world can see this is the people of God. The world can trust. The people outside of Christ can trust Christian. That can be a testimony. We need to keep our word because we don't want to fall under condemnation. But instead, we are awaiting patiently for a Savior that has to come again. As Jim said, he is at hand. He is at the door. And Revelation 21 verse 3 says, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and the death shall be no more. Neither shall be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Will you be there? And what a day will that be? Stan has to say.